Blog Talk Radio.
Philosophy Show, where we talk about events, news, advice, life, science, and the unknown with an objective philosophical perspective. My name's Thomas, your host. Today is Thursday, August 6, 2015 at 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a half an hour show. It's episode number 99. Today's title is called The Rainbow and the Confederate Flag. We're going to have open phones, and what we usually do is just start it out either with a specific subject or have a call-in show or talk about news or events of the day or focus on a particular subject and then talk all about that subject, or you can, or that's the way we can start it out. After all, everything kind of has a symbiont relationship, and I'm sure you can bring it into any subject that you want. And, you know, and then we analyze and have fun and hear your calls. If you need love advice, whatever, any kind of advice, feel free to call. And if you have some news that you want to share or something, then make it so. And so our call-in show is area code 646-929-1344. That's 646-929-1344. Oh, my freaking God. I have a radio show, and it's episode 99. It's on blogtalkradio.com, and so / TGMCS. Now, we don't have any ads. There's enough ads all over the Blog Talk Radio pages, but I do have a nonprofit site, and you can actually also visit youtube.com/blastoffreshair. So, you know, today I named the episode The Rainbow and the Confederate Flag, and feel free to call in with suggestions for shows, you know, and yeah, very, and so if you have a suggestion for a show, if you want to guest host a show, just give us a call and we'll talk about it. And, you know, this is a free speech zone, but, you know, if you sound reasonable, we'll do that. And, so anywho, we also have some, you know, if I can't think of anything to say, I have some special topics that we kind of are ongoing themes, like the conspiracy of the week, quote of the week, advice of the week, review of the week, you know, if I get writer's block, you know, and some news. And so there's lots, and this is what's going on in the news recently is the Confederate flag, you know, and the rainbow flag, I mean, in a sense, per se. And they're both flags. I mean, well, the rainbow flag, it's not really the rainbow flag was the news. It's just that the Supreme Court declared, you know, its constitutional rights for people of the same sex to engage in marriage just like straight couples would and get all the, you know, benefits legally the same. And then the Confederate flag was recently in South Carolina. It was hanging from the state capitol. And that flag has now been removed. And I think that was one of the last ones on the state capitol, you know, using the debate as, public taxes, you know, to do that versus, you know, privately. And so we can discuss all that and we can bring it all together. And honestly, I mean, you can think of it some different perspectives. I mean, flags are really almost an army type thing, you know, and now, of course, you can make sarcastic ones and, you know, ones that are satire. That's a whole different thing. And then you can have ones maybe that are about peace. And so let's start with the, let's see here. Let's start with the rainbow flag here. And now, if you believe, like, ultimately, and I did say ultimately, whether it's 5 years from now, 2 years from now, 100, 1,000, 10,000, whatever, when you can imagine society as completely civilized, I can imagine we're in a way like just in a world where everything is right, you know, in a world where it actually does, you know, the clocks do run on time. Everyone's rights are respected. People are treated as individually. Ideally, you know, we're born into a world that embraces us, where you have an opportunity to fulfill your dreams and desires and interests. And you know, there's a lot of harmony, and so there's no time wasted on bickering and fighting, and you know, there's enough space for everyone. We want a win-win situation, and it's very there isn't a conflict between what is practical versus what is principled. It's all the same, and so there's a lot of peace and prosperity, and it's ideal. You know, it's on the other end of the galaxy, or no, it's just, you know, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back away, you know. Maybe it's the next dimension, maybe it's the age of Aquarius, maybe it's your whatever. But you can imagine it, right? At least, is that something that, let me ask you that, can you imagine that, or is that just too much? Would that make someone brain farts or, you know, faints or something? Or could you actually imagine a place like that, you know, heaven on earth or however you want to say it? But so in that society, what would be the government structure and what would be the purpose of flags? You have to ask yourself. Well, you don't have to. But what I mean is, what would be the purpose of flags, and what would be the government structure? What do you think? I mean, I think it would be, let me give you the answer, in that evolved of a society, what my best guess is, not to brag or think that I know, have all the answers, but try this for size. It would be free, it would be very libertarian, but it would also have public options, and these are voluntary government, you can call them government, you can call them nonprofit organizations, but they would have the integrity of being voted on and run by the public, you know. So public options are things that are in the commons or whatever people get together and try to create, but this would be the government, you know, or what the government would evolve into is a nonprofit, open, transparent, authoritative of because of what it stands for. Like the post office is a perfect example. It's one of the few examples we have in government where it's totally voluntary. It pays for itself. You know, what else can you ask for? I mean, it's voluntary. So anyways, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we wouldn't really probably have flags either. I mean, would we? I mean, maybe corporations might, or, you know, people's family might. I guess they have shields and crests and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you can. It is kind of a, you know, territorial thing usually. And when you think of the rainbow flag, if you were to create a harmonious, peaceful flag, it almost, you know, it could be lots of things. I mean, you could have something, well, they already have the moon and the crescents, and, you know, or you could have a picture of like the Milky Way or just the universe and space, you know, which would be hard to like draw or duplicate. I mean, the stars and stripes of stars, and then, you know, they are all very patriotic, but one that doesn't seem government-like, one that just seems kind of free and eloquent and free and non-governmental and totally voluntary would seem like it would be like the rainbow flag. Religious people would like it also, is God's promise. And so ideally, I think, you know, an ideal flag, some people, a peace sign would be another one maybe, or, you know, Christians might have a cross, and I mean, those are all kind of more peaceful ones. Some people could say the cross could mean invasion, but the rainbow flag, you can't imagine like a country with the rainbow flag like invading another country like Iran and Kuwait or something like that, could you? It'd be hard to imagine, you know, seeing on the news that country with that rainbow flag is invading that other country and, you know, committing war crimes and stuff like that, although it could happen, you know. And so, you know, the American flag, now they've turned it upside down, like, or flipped it around, but all war is bad. I mean, and, you know, and then so that you have your battle flag and then your civilian flag. I mean, there's all different kinds of flags for the different sections of different governments, organizations. Now, am I totally against, do I love the American flag? Yeah, I do feel, I mean, I do feel like, you know, the Constitution of the United States is the most evolved document we have so far in history. And I do believe the integrity of it is the fact that, you know, you have an option to change it if you need to. And it doesn't sway with the wind, per se, but it is flexible enough. So it's steady, but, you know, it's prudent. And a lot of the laws that we need are already there. Like, it just needs to be enforced. So, and then when you think of, like, the U.S. flag, you know, when you think of the Confederate flag, I mean, in some ways they're very similar. They're red, white, and blue and have stars and stripes. And so one's an X, of course, kind of more rebel-like, I guess, or actually look kind of more like the British flag, I guess, with because they had the X as well, right? So now people say, like, does that represent hatred? Does that represent slavery? You know, there's a whole debate, too. If you know, we'll do a little Civil War Confederate flag talk here for a second. I mean, I definitely think it is... I can definitely understand someone feeling that way, and I definitely can understand not wanting public taxpayer dollars used to pay for that. And I don't think anyone's saying, complain usually about the First Amendment. They need to understand there's a difference between public and private, and you know. So, anyways, I think that just speaks for itself. But also, even beyond that, besides just public and private, as far as the Confederate flag goes. I mean, obviously, if you're on your private property, you can have whatever flag you want, you know, and there's no debate about that. I think that's as clear as day, and, you know, your right is protected for that. But where it goes to our tax dollars, now, I heard someone argue that that you could say, well, if the Confederate flag represents slavery, then the U.S. flag does just as much. And, you know, that's hard to argue against. I mean, you know, if you count, like, the Iraq War and lots of, you know, different things. I mean, you know, even with the Indians and then the Tuskegee experiments and other things that we have been involved with, the Dresden burnings, the atomic bombs, and I'm sure there's other things, the, you know, experiments in the 50s of giving hallucinogens to unknown people and lots of different things, economic warfare, you know, the blockades or the boycott, you know, the trade restrictions with Iraq and stuff. So supposedly up to, you know, thousands at least of people died with those trade restrictions. And so... You know, you could make the argument that, okay, so, you know, you're going to have the Confederate flag. You can't, you're going to ban that, but then you won't allow the U.S. flag. But, I mean, just one thing at a time. I mean, number one, the Confederate flag isn't even the government's organization. And yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe all organizations, and here's where we bring it full circle, should be. I mean, ideally, you know, there could be remembrances and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm loyal to the Constitution, not just a flag. I mean, we've had many different variants of flags, and the Constitution is what I'm loyal to, and those principles thereof, the Bill of Rights. I mean, the Constitution is the only one that didn't expand rights was Prohibition, and then it later was overturned via the Constitution. So every new law should be something that expands another rights, not anything that takes it away. And so that's what it's all about. Every new law should expand rights. And the Constitution really is the bottom line law, the foundational laws, the base laws, the most important ones. You have, you know, all these other little ones, but it's already all there in the Constitution. It protects everyone's rights, no matter who you are. You know, I believe in the Civil Rights Act. I think, you know, I'm glad it passed. And I also would say the Constitution already covers it, but have both. And so that's how I feel about that. And so I do understand. I agree with that. I'm not someone who supports the Confederate flag, and almost I'm considering whether any flag is really appropriate, except maybe the rainbow flag. Now, I don't, you know, I'm not gay or anything, and but I think ideally if people didn't have hang-ups, you know, and it does seem like kind of owns that flag, and I think, you know, and this is another thing, I mean, you know, do certain people have ownership over certain words? I mean, is there an impression that you get if you see someone with a rainbow flag? Like, are you going to assume that they're gay, or maybe they're one of their close relatives are, or something like that, or they're just very outspoken politically? So it's probably going to be one of those things, or they're just clueless and just got it as an air freshener or something. I mean, should they own it? Or something like the rainbow represents everything, right? Maybe it should have white and black at the top as well. There's six, and then if you add white and black, there would be 7/8, you know, the primary and secondary colors. So we got about 12 minutes remaining here today. And so it kind of is like the non-flag flag in a sense, and it's organic because it's not a governmental flag, although someday it could turn into one. And I'm not saying that couldn't turn into a tyranny. I mean, usually things with good intentions, the wrong devices can end up doing that. But hopefully not. I mean, you look at the UN flag. I mean, I don't, you know, support that. I do think, you know, the world has got to come together, but I don't think that we should have a monopoly on governments, especially, and we shouldn't have that at all. I think we should all communicate together and have things where we gather together, but it shouldn't be really to pass laws. Nothing that takes away any rights. I mean, it's got to, you know, you're only as good as your lowest standard, some might say, right? So some of those standards from some of those countries are pretty darn low, and, that shouldn't be something that, you know, we compromise with at all. But if it brings other people, I think there's more of an organic new world order, you could say, if you even want to use that term anyways. It's people just getting together over the internet. Today I was reading someone, you know, some pet forum about dogs and cats or something, and, you know, it's about some plants, some mint plants, I guess, or something like that. I forgot what it was. It was either pets or plants or something. And, someone from Singapore, you know, talking to other people from the U.S. and probably Australia, England, all around the world in a gardening forum or something. And so, I mean, that's pretty cool. And that really is the world. And people can share YouTube videos. I mean, you could probably watch someone in, you know, Zimbabwe or something on YouTube and really see that, you know, the humanity of everyone, and that the world is big enough for everybody, and we can have more win-win situations. And so what have I suggested today? Imagine a ideal world right? What would that be? What would the impact of, what would a government structure look like in an ideal world? What would be the role of flags, if any, in an ideal world? I mean, ideal, like, you know, if you write a nonfiction novel and you describe a society where we did move past wars and conflicts and, living by being controlled by greed against each other, at least, and we're still free and, peaceful and prosperous. What would that, can you picture that? I mean, is there going to be skyscrapers? Is everything going to be like the Hobbitville? We're going to have spaceships. I mean, what kind of world would that look like? And then we talked about the rainbow flag and the Confederate flag and how one might seem like more statist or not, and those kind of principles. And so we got about 8 more minutes. If you want to call in to the philosophy show, maybe we shouldn't have any flags, but we can say that the U.S. is a constitution enforced zone, the rule of law is, respecting everyone's rights like you would want them to be respected for yourself. And so the ideal government to make that so is something that's totally nonprofit, that respects your free will, your voluntarism, but has public options. For example, a perfect option, the post office. Another perfect option would be healthcare, water municipality systems, energy possibly. Although I think it would be better if everyone had their own energy source at their home, like solar or some kind of super battery or something, or whatever, some little magnetic circular thing that spins and creates energy from, the magnetic fields of the earth or something. Who knows in the future? But I think we should have a public money system as well. So, and how does it get distributed? It goes from the bottom up. I think everyone should get about the same amount, and we keep tabs. We have a list of everyone who gets this, and everyone gets the same amount of about 15,000. Now, this is not communism. This is probably the most capitalist thing you'll ever hear, because it's like playing Monopoly. You get the same amount when you start, but if you're smart and play it right, accumulate a lot and keep it. And there's no need for taxes. There's no need for paperwork, because it starts from the bottom up. There's nothing to report. We can pay for all the options that way, but it's not going to go out of control and have inflation, because we have tabs on a list of every single person who receives this and exactly how much. So there's no fraud either. There probably will be some, but not any more than there is now. So you'll have a system that only grows as a population grows and declines as a population declines. And if you make something of value, you can, sell those things and accumulate and become a millionaire. But this way, every year, at least someone has a starting point where they can probably afford just, at least the basics. If you want to earn more, you still can. If you want to create your own money system, trading in gold, silver, bitcoins, whatever, still do that. This is a public option that will have confidence, because it's totally transparent. You know exactly what the numbers are. And it starts from the bottom up. If you want to put this money in a bank, and if you want to start open a bank, and you want to hold other people's money, you can do it. I think about that. It's not everyone ends up with the same amounts. It can be just as competitive and everything. They want to control where you spend it by saying, like, we'll pay for this and that, keeping you on welfare. This is, I don't know if you call it capitalism or what. But it's a new way of thinking. And there's competition is also what gives it its relevancy, because it's not afraid to compete. And it's exact, can't be manipulated. There's no reason to have an income tax. You know, it would be silly. I mean, it's redundant. Get rid of the middleman. And even people who work for the IRS and everything now, no worries. You'll get, you know, paid too. I mean, everyone will. And you'll, what it is it's allowing people to vote in the marketplace. You know, that way, if people do like a special product, if someone does create, like, you know, a Windows operating system and charges whatever and everyone wants to pay for it, you know, they'll get to vote in the marketplace. But this time, just like when we vote for president and stuff, we all have equal votes at the beginning. Now, some people can accumulate stuff. Great. Great. You know, it does gets rid of all the blue tape of having, you know, these healthcare things and these all these regulations for business and, I mean, except maybe environmentally polluting stuff. Just go to the source and make money, a public option. And if you don't agree with that or if you think that's wrong, give me a call and let's debate it. But it's totally voluntary. If you want to trade, this is what I'm talking about, is a public option. You know, so, and it has integrity because it's the same amount for everyone every year, and it's very easy to keep tabs of that. And you can voluntarily do it or not. You know, so that is something I never hear anyone talking about. I always hear, you know, even progressives, I hear them talking about, like, you know, they'll give money to if you do this with it. Well, this way you can do whatever you want with it. Why should you even have those rules about it? That sounds pissy. You know, do what you want with it. Now no one has any excuses, and everyone's free, and everyone's taken care of. You can't have a better public safety net than that. And if you don't even want to participate in it, by all means, don't. So it covers everyone. It's a win-win-win. You know, it's a government public option, a new way of government. Instead of a government that you fear, that has barrels, gun barrels in your face, and is, you know, bitch slapping you, you have one that actually works for you. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's ideal, right? So this would be an ideal. And by the way, I think next week's show we're going to talk about Bernie Sanders and why he's not a socialist. It's such hypocritical things. Like, it's actually the Democrats attacking him for being socialist. Think about it this way, whether you believe in socialism or not. Republicans are the biggest socialists. I mean, the only difference between Bernie Sanders is he's socialist towards the working people, while the Republicans and the big corporate Democrats, they're socialists to big corporations. And the amount that goes to big corporations are like at least 10 times more than what goes to regular people. So it's not only the pot, the kettle calling the pot black, it's like the 100-pound kettle calling the 100-pound black kettle calling the 10-pound, you know, little kettle black or something. So anyways, we'll talk to you next week. If you want to tune in to the Philosophy Show, share it, you know, listen to it. Contribute, tell us a show idea, or call in if you want to talk. We have about 60 more seconds remaining, and we'll talk to you next week. It'll be our episode 100, and so that'll be exciting. All right, well, have a good week. Until then.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.